Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll just read a few verses. 22 through 25. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Give us your grace now as we have this short opportunity to look into it. Bless us with your presence and work in our hearts that we might receive your word as a living word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm taking as my text verses 23, 24, and 25, which begin with the words, "You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable." At the beginning of this quarter, I think it's good for us to be reminded of the fact that we're in a great enterprise here at the seminary. We're obviously not the largest seminary on the planet, but that's beside the point. We are still engaged in a great enterprise, and that is the study of the Word of God, the study of the Bible, the study of the Scriptures. And you are here for that purpose, to study the Bible. And if you're here as a Master of Divinity student, you are learning Greek and Hebrew. You are learning Greek exegesis and Hebrew exegesis. And if you are here as a Master's of Theological Studies student, you're also in the mix because you're learning from the Pentateuch and from the historical writings and from the wisdom literature and from the prophets. And you have classes in the Gospels and in the Acts and Epistles, and yes, in the book of Revelation. You have all of these classes, and you have church history so that you can understand a little bit how the men of old studied the Bible and how they understood the Bible. But this study of the Bible is not an end in itself. You are here to study the Bible and to get a handle on the Bible so that you can hear the Word of God, so that you can teach the Word of God, so that you can preach the Word of God. And as we look at it in Peter, in this section of the Apostle's writing, he characterizes this Word as a living Word. And I think what he means here by the living Word is the preaching of the Word. So I want to remind you this morning that you are here to get a handle on the Bible for a purpose, so that you can listen to and teach and preach the living Word of God. I think this is where Peter is leading us this morning in this short passage. As we begin to look at the passage, note first of all that Peter is drawing a little comparison. He starts first of all with this idea of the flesh and the failures of the flesh. He says in verse 23, "You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable." He has in mind a perishable seed. And if you think about the biblical history, of course, this goes back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? And the first gospel promise, where God spoke about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent, that unbelieving seed, that seed which is fallen, is a perishable seed. It is a seed that will die because It is rooted in sin. And the Apostle Peter quotes from Isaiah 40 to remind us this is the case. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. Failing, fallen humanity withers and dies, not only physically, as certainly it is physically, but also spiritually, for the wages of sin is death. And Peter is reminding us of this by this quotation from Isaiah chapter 40. But Peter is contrasting with the perishable seed, with that which withers, the imperishable seed. Look again at verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. And he says, through the living and enduring Word of God. This imperishable seed. Paul uses the same word when he speaks about the imperishable resurrection body. This mortal flesh is perishable. It will one day rest in the grave, some of us sooner than others. And yet, when Christ comes a second time in glory, that body, which is perishable, will be raised, Paul says, imperishable. And because it will be raised imperishable, it will be living. It will have life from above, life from Christ. And it will be a body that endures forever. And Peter uses this same terminology with regard to the Word of God. You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. And then at the end of this quotation from Isaiah 40 in verse 25, he repeats, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And what Peter has in mind here in verse 25 is the expression of the word. And the underlying Hebrew gives us this idea. It's not just a static word that is written, but it is an expressed word. It is a word that goes forth. It is a living word from this perspective. And this is what Peter has in mind. And so, at some point, if sinful flesh, which is imperishable, is to live, that imperishable, which is perishable, is to live, that imperishable word must come into contact with the perishable flesh. And Peter is thinking about this, you see. This living word coming into contact with perishable flesh. And he has this, I think, in mind. And he gets this contrast, and he gets this idea from Isaiah 40. So if you turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 40, let's look at what Isaiah has to say in chapter 40. We'll begin at verse 1 in chapter 40. The quotation really comes from verses 7 and 8. But let's do begin with verse 1. Isaiah is looking ahead from his time, past the captivity, to the deliverance of God's people from captivity. And this is the context of his words. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. You see, Isaiah is now looking ahead and he's seeing that God's people in captivity because of their sin and God's hand of judgment hard upon them, they will come forth and they will be delivered. Verse 3, a voice is calling, clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yes, God's people will come out, and a road will be made, a road of redemption will be made for them out of their captivity. And of course, the New Testament, the Gospels, quotes this section of Isaiah 40 with reference to John the Baptist, who prepares the way for the Christ to come. And then we come to verse 6. A voice calls out. Then he answered, "What shall I call? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass." When the judgment breath of God blows upon sinful flesh, it withers. And so we have this comparison. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The gospel promises, originally given in the garden and then repeated to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, stand firm. These gospel promises, the word of our God stands forever. And it is not just, you see, this word written that we can look back upon, but it is that word which was spoken by God. It is a living word that abides forever. And notice the next verse in Isaiah 40. It is a word about the gospel. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Yes, gospel proclamation must go forth. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Or, better rendered, behold your God. And it is in Jesus Christ, ultimately, that the people are able to behold their God. And so when Isaiah speaks about the word of our God standing forever, he connects immediately with that gospel proclamation, the preaching of the gospel. And Peter picks this up. Go back, if you would, to 1 Peter and look at verses 24 and 25. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And then these telling words, and this is the word which was preached to you. It wasn't just a static word. It was a living word that was proclaimed to you. This is Peter's connection. Preached as the gospel to you, we might put it. And so gospel proclamation, Peter is telling us, is a living word. You notice how President O'Neill prayed earlier. We are going to do what? Sit under the preaching of the Word of God. This is why we're here. This is a living Word. And Peter goes further in connecting the two. Look at verse 23 again. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. And then he quotes from Isaiah 40 and adds these words, and this is the word which was preached to you. You see, Peter connects the living word with the proclamation of the word. And you may take that as the proclamation of the word as you sit with someone across the table and relate to them the gospel. You may take that as the proclamation of the word as you sit with them across the counseling table and offer them words of advice and counsel. And you may take that as the word of God, which is proclaimed to you in the gospel as you sit under the word of God in the congregation. This is what Peter is telling us. And we might ask the question, how is it possible that preaching can be styled the Word of God? William Googe, a Westminster divine, answers this question for us. He says, preaching may be styled the Word of God when it is rooted in Scripture, when it is rooted in the written Word of God. And of course, Peter is rooting his argument here in 1 Peter, in the Old Testament, in the Word of God, in Isaiah chapter 40. Peter is doing that very thing. And Googe says also that preaching may be styled the Word of God as it is rooted in the Word of God and sets forth the will of God from the Scriptures. And of course, Peter is doing this too, is he not? And we'll see that momentarily, how the Word of God, Peter says, is utilized as the instrument of grace. And Googe goes further and says that when the preaching is for the glory of God by the power of God, it sets forth the Scriptures and the will of God. And it sets them forth for the glory of God by the power of God. Paul tells us this too, does he not? That the gospel is what? The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so we have it, I think, this connection between the proclamation of the word, and we speak of it this way, as the word of God. And what does Peter tell us about this word? Look at verse 23 again. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. You see, here Peter now is bringing that perishable flesh together with the imperishable Word. And what is he saying? That as that living word, that proclamation of the gospel goes forth, God is pleased to use that living word as an instrument to change the lives of people like you and me. You are born again through the instrumentality of the living and enduring word of God. You remember what happened with the Apostle Paul when he went to Philippi? And he was by the riverside there. And he began to speak to a small group of women. And there was a woman by the name of Lydia there. And the book of Acts says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. So that as Paul was preaching and teaching, the Lord opened her heart, and through the instrumentality of that word, that living word, that imperishable word, perishable flesh was transformed, and she was born again to a living hope. Lydia, you may testify concerning that same work of God if you too are born again. And it was through the instrumentality of this word. And so you see, friends, You're here to study the Word of God, to learn to handle the Word of God, not as an end in itself, but so that you can listen to and teach and preach the living Word of God, so that you may learn the Word of God and root what you teach and preach and what you counsel in Scripture, so that you may relate to others the will of God for salvation, and you may do so for the glory of God. And as you do so for the glory of God, God is pleased to use you and use the instrumentality of His Word by His power to alter the lives of others. And so, I want to give you this encouragement this morning, because as you get into the quarter, you're going to be submerged in books and papers and other things. Don't forget the big picture. Don't forget the big picture. All of this study, all of this work to understand the Bible is for a purpose, so that you can better listen to and teach and preach the living Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thanks. Thanks for the lesson that Peter gives us. We pray that we might take it to heart. And as we get into this quarter, Father, and we are struck by the tasks that are before us, and in many ways overwhelmed by the work that we have to do, by the study in individual classes, and by the arguments, and by the things that need to be memorized, cause us to draw back so that we have a bigger picture of what we're about. Because this is a great enterprise in which we are involved, this study of the Word of God, getting a handle on the Bible. And help us to understand, Father, that this is not an end in itself, but we're here to get a handle on the Bible so that we can listen to it better and teach the content of the Bible and preach the content of the Bible so that we can listen to and teach and preach the living Word of God. Grant us this grace, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.